Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I am your host of the Dork Forest. You probably know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. We're all over iTunes and whoever has downloaded it and repurposed it for whatever your needs. That's right. So feel free to review the show on iTunes. Feel free to email me, Jackie at JackieCation.com, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns. Anyway, let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah. He'll sing again his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does my website. Okay, there are many ways to support the show. Let's talk about them. The easiest way is just to tell other people about the show and follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Jackie Cation and tell people word of mouth. Another way to support the show financially doesn't cost you anything is the Amazon banner. On JackieCation.com, there's an Amazon banner under support the show. And on dorkforest.com, there's just an Amazon link that takes you to Amazon. And both take you to Amazon, you order like normal, and the show gets a little bit of a kickback. Doesn't cost you extra. It's just a way, if you order from Amazon, to help the show. More direct way of helping the show, you can give money to the show via PayPal. There's a PayPal button under the support the show page on JackieCation.com, and there's a PayPal button on dorkforest.com. You can donate directly. If you want to give monthly, I haven't made that easy. I don't have a monthly setup. I know that it's easy. I just don't have any time to do it. So you have to remember every month that you like the show and then give me money. So I'll use it wisely on audio cables and chocolate, whatever. Another way to support the show, if you don't like PayPal, is people have been Venmoing me money. I'll take it. That seems lovely. Jackie at JackieCation.com. It's just under Jackie Cation. So whatever. If you have listened to all 600 and whatever episodes of The Dork Forest and would like more Dork Forest, there are premium episodes, probably a dozen of them. And they are, in the last couple of years, if I do a live episode, it usually costs me some money. So I have been putting them up on Bandcamp and they cost money. They cost $2 a pop. But if you go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, you can see those different shows. They're usually live episodes around the world. And there is also four stories on a sort of a handmade storytelling album that I made over there too. And those are just $1 each. So if you want to go to Bandcamp, you can do that as well. You can order merch on JackieCation.com. There are shirts and CDs and a DVD of my stand-up. There's the stand-up CDs, Circus People, It's Never Gonna Be Bread, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, and my brand new album, I Am Not the Hero of This Story. And they're all available as CDs on JackieCation.com. They're all available digitally on Amazon and iTunes, and you can just listen to them on Pandora and Spotify and whatever. So, but if you like hard copies, let me know if you want them signed or not. There's also a DVD of the Horcrux album, which is video. That's what a DVD is. And you can download that at comedyfilmnerds.com if you just like a download. Okay, there are shirts. There's my stand-up shirt, Spooky Reading Girl. There's also two Dork Forest t-shirts. So there's the Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt, and there is a Dork Forest logo shirt. And all the shirts are made in the United States, union-made, so they run a little big because they're made by Americans. Other than that, my stand-up is available on the website, on JackieCation.com. You can watch my Conan sets. You can watch a bunch of different stand-up sets. You can, and then you can see what my schedule's like. Enough of this. Let's get into the show. It's a really good one. Hey, I'm in my living room, you guys. In Van Nuys, it is 1 million degrees outside. So yeah. Welcome to the show, Sarah Schaefer.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I've been wanting to be on it for so long.
So long. And you're hilarious. So thanks. It's all going to work out. SarahSchaefer.com, by the way. Sarah, no H. S-A-R-A. No H. Yep. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R.
Uh-huh.
SarahSchaefer.com. It's SarahSchaefer1 on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the Instagram and all the rest of it?
Or all the same. SarahSchaefer1 across the board.
You're number one.
Yeah. I got Twitter really early.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was going to become what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I made my Twitter name the same as my AOL username because that's how long ago it was. And my chat name.
My AOL chat name is Jackie Sue. My sister made it in 1989. Yeah. So that's why it's Sarah Schaefer 1.
Yeah. Yeah. And the person who has Sarah Schaefer, no number, they got the account
years later because she could.
Right. Because it was open. And it was like right when Twitter exploded, I went to see, oh, maybe I should, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that many followers.
I have Dork Forest Pod. And all it says is, hey, I don't want to tweet at two different places. Yeah. So go back to Jackiecation.
Yeah.
So
that's better.
Yeah, it's fine. So let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Dork out. Dork first out. Thing you said, cross stitch. Though embroidery is what's happening right now. But let's talk a little bit about cross stitch because I don't even my mother in law does it. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what the hell it is.
Okay, so cross stitch is a type of embroidery. Specifically, I do counted cross stitch.
Okay.
Counted. Embroidery is any use of thread.
Okay.
To embellish fabric.
Nice. I like and no notes, by the way.
No notes. Oh, I know.
pulled that right out of the sky. Yeah. The definition. You've been asked before.
I've just looked it up myself out of interest.
I love it.
But I do counted cross stitch, which is when you have your grid, pattern, and you follow the pattern, and each cross stitch is a little X.
That the stitch you're making?
Yeah. That's a type of cross stitch. Okay. That's why they call it cross stitch, because the majority of the stitches are an X. So it's your first is the half.
Yeah.
Stitch or an X. A lot of people have done it when they were kids because it's a very simple, easy thing to learn. And there's fabric that's really big, so you can. It just has the holes for you.
It could be paint by numbers to some extent.
A little bit, yeah.
You're doing it's like dots.
Yeah,
you're making little X's that will eventually be a picture.
Yeah, it's like pixelated almost.
Oh,
but there's
not even almost. That sounds like
it
pixels.
Is. Yeah, and it's You can do different stitches to create different effects and borders. Okay. And, you know, there's...
So cross-stitch is the X.
Yeah.
Okay.
I brought my current project with me in case you wanted to look at it.
I do. Why wouldn't I?
So I actually did cross-stitch a lot when I was little and in high school. And then I didn't do it for probably 30 years.
Okay.
Well, no, not that long. I'm not that old.
Right. I was going to say
20 some years.
Okay.
And then recently, about a year ago, I started again. And I was like, what have I been doing? Because I used to crochet and do a lot of other. I love any kind of.
Some sort of yarny thread.
Yeah. Anything with thread. I'm obsessed with it. And, but this is so compact and I like to make things perfect. And this is a way to really be perfect.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not someone who can design my own stuff yet. I'm hoping to get there, but right now I'm working on a little butterfly.
Oh my God, so you are.
Yeah. That is, so you can see the X's.
Yeah. So you can see the... Wait a minute. You can totally see the X's.
Yeah, and so this is the pattern I'm following, which each symbol is a different color.
Okay, so it's... Yeah,
so it's like our...
And is it the same size as the what's
no,
going to be?
No, so that's bigger. The pattern is bigger. Is
bigger so that you know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And the pattern has N's and U's.
Yeah, those are the... Each
dots.
Square has a different code in it.
Okay.
And the code tells you what color thread you're going to use for that square.
Not a lot of people live by a code. I'm so sorry I had to say that.
I live by a code, a thread code.
There's a line or a triangle.
Yeah. And there's like
and that's
little
colors
symbols.
Of
yeah, those are different colors. So the dot, the black dot is black. So you can see I've done black.
Yeah. You've done all the, you know, you've done a lot of black.
Yeah. And this is on, this fabric is called Even Weave.
Okay.
It's like a thicker, it's like bigger linen.
Okay.
So think about when you look at linen, you can see the little squares.
Yeah.
The weave of it. This is a little bit thicker than linen so that I can see my holes easier.
Okay. And do people do different cloths?
Yeah. Most people do like bigger, it's called, this is Even Weave, Aida fabric.
Okay.
Which is much more.
It's finer?
No, it's bigger. You can see the holes. It's what most people, when they're beginning, start out using.
Okay.
And this is very tiny. And I have to use a headlamp or be in very good light when I do it.
That is awesome.
So I can see.
But so, yeah.
Okay, so there's all right, the big picture.
There's a lot to talk about
here. We're about to get into it.
This is one I just finished.
Okay, with your trees, pine trees.
It's a little mountain scene.
It's a mountain scene. Yeah. And then my mother-in-law frames them.
Yeah, I can frame them.
How long does it take to do this? Because this
that took
be
me about a month.
What is the circumference of this?
About 8 inches.
Okay, so it's 8 inches.
That one, I
and it took a month.
And it's probably, I don't know how many stitches that is. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's really a lot because it's got three big trees,
some mountains
and it's clouds. Wait, are those mountains in the background?
Those are three mountains.
The green, and blue?
Yeah.
Those are mountains. Okay, mm-hmm. I thought they were more pines.
I did too at first and then I forgot. Oh, these are mountains. I'm not stitching pine trees.
Clouds, birds, more than trees, and then water, and then
it's on my Instagram. I signed it with thread.
Do you sign most of them with thread?
That was the first one I did it on. I was like, I need to start signing my.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. SS17, right there.
I had to make sure it didn't look like a Nazi symbol.
You guys, it's just because your initials are SS doesn't mean you're a Nazi.
Yeah.
Anyway, so is that a different cloth though?
That's the same type of cloth. It's just a different color.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is more of a darker beige.
Yeah.
And then this is a lighter beige.
They sell it in different colors.
Are they mostly beige?
You can get bright white.
Okay.
I like beige because bright white, it gets dirty.
Right. And then can you get like blue or green or yellow?
You can get blue, green. The other colors, I think I'd have to order online.
Okay.
You don't really see a lot of other
colors.
Is
there a store that you go to? I saw something that looked like a stitching store next to Cece's on Ventura in Encino.
Oh, I will have to check that out.
Yeah.
I like Joann's.
Oh, because they're everywhere too, right?
Or unfortunately, Hobby Lobby has quite a good selection, but
try
to avoid it.
It's like trying not to go to Walmart.
Yeah,
doesn't always work.
Yeah,
but
sometimes I currently have an almost full 20 minutes in my act right now about Hobby Lobby. So I have a very complicated relationship
Sarah
with Hobby Schaefer, Lobby.
For you guys, get out there. It's a complicated relationship. Yeah. And I know these pants that I'm wearing were made by toddlers, no doubt. Yeah. So yeah. There's trouble.
It's hard to be pure.
Yeah. We're all doing our best.
Yeah.
So, or if you aren't trying, please try. At least
do your best.
Yeah. Just give it a shot.
Yeah.
So they're different X's. I'm looking at this butterfly wing.
Yeah.
And now how long now? Because all you got here, you got sort of a third of a body of a butterfly and one wing.
Yeah.
How long you been working on this?
This is about
guy?
A week.
It's a week. And will you sit there and sort of watch television and do it?
I like to watch TV while I do it.
And do you have my mother-in-law just bought sort of a holder?
Yes, I aspire to the holder.
You aspire to the holder.
Well, because
she's 70. So
that's the thing. When you are this is a square frame.
Yep.
Most people use, or a lot of people use, the circle hoop, which I just showed you.
Okay.
Which most people would associate with embroidery is the wooden hoop that holds your fabric taut.
Yes.
Now I just graduated to this frame because it holds it real taut and it doesn't wrinkle your fabric or stain it.
Oh, that's
the wood
amazing.
Sometimes gets dirty.
Oh, right, right.
So
this is plastic. It's just
It's plastic. It just holds it really tight. And when I posted that the previous piece on that frame on Instagram, I had a bunch of people asking me like, "Oh my god, what is that thing you're using?"
Yeah,
other stitchers that
other
were
stitchers
like, "Why
like,
am I not using that?"
And that frame looks great
because I saw it. So there's this whole world of embroidery and cross stitch. There's this one. Oh shoot, I gotta look it up. I can't remember the name of it. There's these type of design. There's this one woman who makes these really, really crazy elaborate cross stitch patterns that are like 200,000 stitches. And when you look at it from across the room, it looks like a painting.
Okay.
So it's wall to wall stitching. Like here I have negative space, you know,
yeah.
And that other one you see, it's just the, you know, image on there. It looks like a painting from a distance.
Like, sort of like that?
Yes, just like pixelated. And then when you get up close, you're like, oh my God, this is embroidery. This is insane. And it takes people years. And you can find people, tag it on Instagram. You can see them working on it.
Wow.
And that's kind of where I learned, like, oh, this is what the advanced people are using. They're right. using this square thing. The stand, as your mother-in-law
yeah.
Uses, it's a stand that it holds it up in front of you so you don't have to hold the
yes.
actual, which I've found... I've already noticed, like, oh, I'm holding this up, and over time, this is going to screw up. I'm going to get, like, carpal tunnel or something
right,
from
right.
grabbing or, it for
yeah,
so long.
Yeah, or just one arm's going to be really big, like yeah. Hercules. And yeah. so, yeah, you're going to want to. Yeah, because yeah. I know that she was like, I got to figure out something because I can't not cross-stitch.
I think this might be my thing that is, like... you become obsessed with it.
Yeah. She's got a couple of different pieces around. Yeah. around. Like, do you see that lace doily thing?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Her mother, I believe, did that. Yeah. Or Andy's dad's mom. Somebody's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Made that lace.
Those are hard.
Yeah. To make lace is another dorkdom that is something else. But so you get the pattern.
Yeah.
And there's pattern books, right?
There. Well, I Etsy has some really good ones. This
that
is actually.
Just make.
Yeah.
Sort you can of like buy clothes. Them,
download it. Like,
oh,
there's a lot of really cute ones. There's a lot of I like vintage ones too.
Okay,
I have a bunch of vintage ones.
What makes a vintage? I mean,
from the 80s or 70s.
Okay,
you know,
not even the 1880s.
No.
We're talking. How long has cross stitch been around?
Well, embroidery has been around since fabric has been around.
Okay,
but cross stitch. And it goes back to as far as like I think I looked it up. It was like this. In the BCs, like,
oh, wait, okay,
you know, sixth century BC or something like that, like really, really old,
right?
Because
if you think about it, people have been putting tiny things together to make big pictures,
yeah,
like the mosaics and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Tapestries, all that. Like, so there's this
Do you know what a tapestry is?
A tapestry is weaving.
Okay.
Traditionally.
So it's a traditional loom setup.
Yeah.
So you have to set
and
up.
If
and
if you've
then...
gone to an old castle or anything, they've always got tapestries on the walls.
The cloisters at the Met.
And they're so elaborate. I mean, when you look at it, you think about how long that must have taken.
Right. Because, yeah, like, so what are they setting it up in a loom or are they doing it themselves?
Yeah. Weaving is similar. To cross stitch in that it is essentially a grid if you think about it because it's you know threads going one way and the other threads are going the other way and so you are creating pattern by based on which color you use on which little it's really elaborate. My dad's girlfriend is a lifelong weaver. She has like a whole barn with looms and I mean it's really
you gotta have a barn if you're gonna be a weaver. I gotta
get a barn for my crafting.
First thing you do instead of putting like I don't know like a shed out back, get yourself a loom and a barn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So but yeah, they've been women have been embroidering forever and they usually it was a rite of passage for a girl to make a sampler. So a lot of, you've probably seen samplers that look like cross-stitch samplers that are like the alphabet and then like a couple people and
home
like maybe,
sweet home
yeah, or, stuff like that. It's like a design, there's flowers and those were used as tools to teach young girls how to stitch.
Okay.
So they would learn all their stitches. They would learn
how to make letters.
They would learn their alphabet.
Yeah.
And I mean, back in the like medieval times, like they weren't allowed to read, so they were just doing flowers and shit.
Right, but the sampler is what I heard. Speaking of medieval assholes, it was a sample of how good you were too.
Yes, you would refer back to it, and it would be this whole thing.
You could refer back to it.
Yeah,
because it would be
like, oh,
that's how I did that.
That's Margaret Ann's sampler.
Right. I wonder how she did that. Sort of like looking at a recipe for other people's stitches.
Yeah.
So how did you learn? YouTube?
No, I learned from when I was little.
Okay.
So as a girl, I learned how to cross stitch, probably in Girl Scouts or something like that.
Right, right.
My mom didn't do it, but my grandmother did. She did a type of embroidery called crewel, like jewel, but crewel.
Okay, so C-R-E-W-E-L?
Yeah, and I have one of them. Her piece is framed in my house, which
That's
is
neat.
Really great.
Yeah.
It's like an apple tree.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. And there's
a lot of detail
we have a couple. And, yeah. We have a couple of them. My sister has one.
which is an old poem about babies, okay. which is really beautiful. And
wow.
And then, but I never knew her.
Okay. You never got to.
Well,
hang with her?
I don't know who did it. See, my mom is dead too, so I can't ask her these things. My dad right. has no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And why?
So it's somebody, either grandmother or great grandmother made these
okay.
things. And I never, whoever
and
made them,
down
I didn't know
through
her.
Your mom's side.
I think so, yeah.
So not your dad's. So
I don't, but I could be wrong. I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to do my, that's another thing I'm getting into now is the family tree.
Family tree. Yeah. Genealogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think the concept of cross-stitch is really simple. Like anyone can, like a little kid can do it. It's
okay.
just a simple X
yeah.
with your thread in the hole, out the hole, you know,
yeah.
very, very simple stitching.
Okay.
And so I just remembered it from being
when
young,
you, yeah,
picked it up and learned a lot, like made a lot of mistakes on the first one I did like a year and a half ago. Like, oh, you're supposed to like only use a certain amount of thread or like whatever. And I was like learning. And then I went online and looked stuff up and I was like, oh.
Okay. So you have yeah. to, do you have to pick sort of the right length of, do you cut the thread after yeah. every X?
No.
Okay.
No. So like you're going,
here. Right.
You're
oh,
going
right.
in and out, just like you're sewing.
Oh, you know,
you're
okay.
going in and out, in and out.
Okay.
And you're just doing a pattern with your stitches. And then when you run out of thread, you just cut off a new one.
And then you thread a new needle.
Yeah.
And you start yeah. the next X or the next hole.
And I'm obsessed with the back of my stitching looking neat as well. As you can see.
It does look very nice, quite honestly.
Yeah, I don't like to have a lot of like mess. I get
right.
stressed out about the mess on the back that no one will ever see.
Excellent. Yeah. I'd like the attention to detail.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. You just yeah. want to do something that's super specific.
And I like
and
things that are small and tiny.
And tiny.
Yeah.
And so you picked, so what was the first one you picked? Did you just go?
I did some little hoops, like really small ones, like 3 inches.
Yeah.
And made little sayings just by hand, like no pattern.
Oh.
For Christmas presents. So like my, you know, I did like a lyric from my sister's favorite song and like.
And did it on a tiny.
Yeah. And it looked really cute. But then I learned, and then I was like, oh, I love doing this. This yeah. is like really soothing. So then I started looking up patterns and then I jumped straight to like this really elaborate owl that was like 50,000 stitches or something. And it like was such a nightmare.
Right.
And that's where I kind of like broke myself into the more elaborate stuff.
Did you do the owl? Did
yeah. The owl is done. I need to frame it. It took me like a year to do that.
And you, did you sort of buckle down and go, no, I'm finishing this fucking owl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finish the fucking owl.
That's, I see what's happening.
I'm
getting to know a little bit more about yeah. Sarah Schaefer
yeah.
and
yeah.
your
it's I want to do original things.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I've realized I have a weakness, which is I don't know how to draw. I'm not an artist.
Okay.
So this is a skill, you know.
Yeah.
I have good taste, I think. So I pick like good people are like, oh my God, I want one. You know,
yeah.
and I'm like, well, I didn't design it, but I'll, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't made anything for myself yet. They're all gifts.
So far, all gifts.
I need to
Even
make something
owl?
For me. Yeah.
Wow.
A
lot of work for it to be, you're like, a year.
I don't even care. I'm just like, get it out of here.
Get it out of here.
This was about me doing it, not about me seeing it ever again. But
so
yeah.
You are an artist.
Yeah.
So
truly.
Do you want to learn to draw? Maybe.
Well, my boyfriend draws, and I've been trying to get him to draw for me, but he doesn't seem into it.
let's say he draws the thing he wants to draw, and let's pretend he's 9, so he
yeah.
wants to draw a robot.
Yeah.
So he draws a robot.
Yeah.
You have that drawing. You like it. You want to yeah. turn it into a pattern. Do you know how to do that?
There's apps
oh.
where you can do it, but I've tried some things, and like you really have to be... You have to work with the app. You have to.
You have to massage it to.
After a while of trying different ones, like, oh, I could do like the album cover of what. Like, so I was like, I'll just convert it to whatever.
Yeah.
And it would be too. It wouldn't look right. And I could just tell by the pattern that it wasn't going to come out good.
Okay.
So I've tried to like. I've realized that you really do have to have that visual eye.
Okay.
And you probably have to. I mean, I'm just dipping my toe into that idea.
Right.
There's a lot of...
yeah, you're only a year and a half in so
yeah.
far, so you're just...
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really talented embroidery artists on Instagram, and I'm deep into that world now. And there's some women who do... And I say women because they're mostly women. I'm sure there are men that do these things too. Who do, I mean, the most insane portraits in thread.
Yeah.
And this is embroidery, not cross stitch.
Instagram is the way to go, not Pinterest or whatever.
I'm sure it's on Pinterest too, but I just use Instagram. So I see it on there. And Instagram will then suggest another account that's similar. Yeah. And so now I've got a lot of embroidery in my feed. But there's embroidery, needle, you know, there's different types of embroidery, but I'm talking about the kinds where you just, it's almost like you're painting with thread.
Yeah.
Like you're just filling in a picture. You draw it on your, I've seen people will post like in progress. They've drawn on the fabric what they want and they fill it in, and it's like shading. And like, I mean, they do, this one woman does like elaborate portraits of people's pets that look almost photographic. I mean, they're just so,
what? And they're
so talented.
And are they, or they put the pattern right on the fabric?
They draw it on with some sort of pencil or something, and then they fill it in.
Do you think that they have like this piece of paper that has the boxes with the colors?
For embroidery, no. I think they're just people who are artistic and who know how to do that. I don't know, like, who can paint. Like, they truly are like painting. And they, like, you have to see it to understand. But I mean, there's this one woman that does like portraits of like kind of like kitschy, like celebrity, like David Bowie, or like Amy Sedaris from Strangers with Candy. And they're like this big, and they are just the tiniest, most like really realistic looking shading of a person with thread.
I saw something that I think it was embroidery or cross stitch or some sort of needlework of Carrie Fisher with the Bowie Rebel paint on her face, but done in an Andy Warhol 4-up.
Right.
And I was like, did they do that with thread? And it was so weird because it's Andy Warhol, Carrie Fisher, and David Bowie all in one thing.
Yeah.
So that is a little pop culture rabbit hole that I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, there's a lot of pop culture happening in embroidery right now. Like, people are combining these worlds. And one trendy thing I don't like when I choose if I'm going to follow an embroidery account on Instagram, I don't just follow them willy-nilly.
No, you got to,
I don't
want
crap in there, you know?
Stuff that you don't like.
You know, and there's some people very trendy right now, if you look up patterns on Etsy or whatever, which is to say something sassy in cross-stitch because it looks old, but it says like, you know,
fuck off,
not today, fucker, or something like that, you know, nasty bitch, like, you know, nasty woman or whatever. And I don't like those. I think those are...
That's not what you're going for.
No, they're
too trendy. You like the more traditional stuff.
I do. I like the really traditional stuff.
Right. Which I think, you know, I mean, there's... If that's what you want, sew, like, whatever the latest Game of Thrones quote.
They're very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very popular. But that is not... That's like nothing.
Star Wars is popular. All the nerd stuff is popular.
Sure.
In embroidery. Like, and it's an easy thing to... It's great for gifts if you like to make that stuff.
Right, because then you get to make it, and then you get to get rid of it, and you're like, oh.
And it seems impressive.
Right. You know, my father, in the 70s, accidentally told somebody that he liked unicorns. And so for a decade, people gave him unicorn crap.
Yeah.
And about 10 years ago, he did it again. He didn't even realize he was doing it, but... He told people, he had a horrible joke, a sexist joke about frogs, kissing a frog. And so he's been given probably dozens of frogs over the last 10 years. And I'm like, don't tell anyone that you like something, because then all of a sudden you get an embroidered Star Wars R2-D2.
Yeah. My mom had quite a bit of rooster-themed items in her home.
My mother-in-law, the moms have... Decades will go by where, and I don't know why I've digressed into this story, but we get to hear it now, is Andy said that it was elephants when he was in college. Yeah. So they have a bunch of elephant stuff. And then it was Southwestern.
Like Cocopellis
everywhere, God. And turquoise.
God.
And then it was, now I believe it is, the kitchen was done all in red. And there are a lot of things in chilies, like those hot chilies.
Yeah.
So, and everything's adorable, and they're all mixed together now. And,
oh yeah, when it's a beautiful tapestry.
I went to Africa. I got them a painted plate of the continent of Africa that was red because I knew they liked red.
Yeah.
And I saw that they had plates on the wall of different things, and one of them was a Coca-Pelli thing, I think. And so I was like, I think that'll even go.
Yeah.
And so, but it's funny because it with the plates, she just stacked it in front of the previous genre. So it was behind it might be an elephant plate. We don't know. We don't know.
The tides are changing in home decor over time.
Over time, you know, you like to redo. I'm going to redo this in Egyptian. Right now we're going mid-century. Yeah. What?
Egyptian, go for it.
The front of these have hieroglyphics on them.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That was accidental. So anyway, but you're also doing other kinds of embroidery, or are you mostly just doing cross stitch?
Just cross stitch. I'd love to learn how to do. I don't even know what they call it. I just call it embroidery. Or needlework, needlepoint.
Right.
Needlepoint, I think, is something different.
I think it's something real specific.
Yeah. There's the kind where you poke the thing through the... Oh, there's so many different things. that's what I'm doing. I have all these patterns that I have, like...
You have backup patterns?
Oh, yeah. I have stuff that I want to make.
And is this the one that's attached right now, is that just the part that you're working on? Like, is it big?
No, that's it. That's going to fit all right there.
But I've done ones where... butterfly.
Yeah, I did one that was like pretty big, like this big, of the same poem about babies that my...
Oh, that your great-grandmother might have done.
And I made a vintage pattern, cross-stitch pattern I found on eBay of the same poem, and made that for my other sister who didn't have the thing up in her house.
Oh, right.
So she could have one. And it was pretty big, so I was like... You know, you move it up and you're always working on the center.
Okay.
You know, you're always working on the part you're working on, but you can move the fabric around in the frame.
The frame.
Because once you're done with it, you can steam it. You can iron it.
Okay.
You have to be careful, but like you can even wash it.
Yeah.
Because it's like not going anywhere. It's pretty. That's part of what I love about it, is it's tactile. I love doing things with my hands, and I like the way that feels.
And it's nice because, it is a little three-dimensional. So what are you going to show me?
Oh, some thread.
Nice.
So... I have probably
a ring of threads.
Yeah, this is just for this project. So those are the colors. And I learned from looking it up online that a really cute way to store your thread is to wrap it around a clothespin.
Right. That's fun.
And so I have probably close to 200 different colors. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm going to, it's really nerdy. But
welcome to the Dork Forest.
I have a craft nook in my home.
You got a craft nook?
Yeah.
Nice work.
One day it'll be a barn.
Is it like this size?
No, it's real tiny. It's just like,
it's a corner of a
little
room.
Cove.
Yeah, it's a craft cove.
I'm going to hang up like all the threads on a little clothesline.
Okay.
Of the clothespins.
Right.
So I can see them all in the rainbow.
This isn't all of this color that you have, right?
Of like that color? Yeah.
This is all of this color.
Yeah, you buy them. See this pink one?
Yeah.
You buy them in a thing that is more like this long.
Okay.
Just like just looped.
Okay.
Like the thread is
like
looped.
Oh, like embroidery thread.
Yeah, you see it in the store or whatever.
Cardboard.
And then you take it off and you wrap it around what's called a bobbin so that you can easily get it. It won't get tangled. Because, man, in the beginning I wasn't... doing the bobbin, and that shit got so tangled, it was a nightmare.
Oh, because it's just sort of curved in on itself, and then
you buy it like an
extension cord.
Yes, just like an extension cord, and then you buy it like that, and then if you don't wrap it around something to keep it organized, it will become, you'll have to throw it away.
It's unusable.
Yeah.
So that's what a freaking bobbin is.
Yeah, it's and you wrap it around there.
It's a piece of cardboard.
And then each piece of floss is 6 threads.
What's floss?
Okay,
floss.
Okay.
Floss is floss in my head.
So see
what
this?
Yeah.
This is floss.
That's the name of the thread?
That's embroidery floss.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then see how it's
kind of frayed? Yeah.
Yeah, that's 6 different threads. And you only use 2 to make a stitch. So this right here. Is 2. So you have to pull. I know. It's like, why don't they make it
that at that thickness?
I know.
So you bought essentially an extension cord,
yeah.
A tiny extension cord of thread.
Of
And each thread is six threads. Each floss is
six threads. And then you pull out two and you sew with two. Sometimes you use one.
Yeah. And
sometimes you use more if it's a special thing.
So let's say you've cut off 3 inches of the floss.
Yeah.
Then you separate out two of those pieces of floss.
I would do more like 12 to 14 inches.
Okay, so you cut off...
Length.
Right, a length of floss.
Usually the rule when I was little, they taught us like definitely no longer than your arm because then you can't pull it, you know.
Yep.
But a comfortable length where you kind of go up, down. Like
okay.
So when you pull the thread... you're not going too far away so that it's like you're like
doing laps or something like swimming.
Yeah.
So you take like, okay, then you separate out from the six threads, you take two of the threads.
Yeah.
What do you do with the other four? Do you wrap it back around a different bobbin?
You wrap it around the same bobbin to keep if you're super neat, but oftentimes I would just leave it out.
Right. Because you might need it. You'll need it again.
But when with it where I can see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then you'll take those two threads.
Yeah.
And you will thread a needle with those two threads or with one thread? Like, what is that one right now? Is that
two.
One or two? Okay.
And then it creates the
And that's the
thickness
the correct
that you need.
Thickness
Usually, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For cross-stitch, at least.
And that is in the pattern.
Yeah. There's also print. There's also stamped cross-stitch, which is the pattern is on the fabric. And you follow it.
That.
And that's more basic looking. I would never.
I think that Chris Foley, Mama Foley, has done both of these things.
Yeah.
Because she has both this piece of paper and something is drawn on the fabric.
Yeah. You can do, there's a million different, you can buy kits in the store that comes with everything.
Right.
Or you can get your kit, your pattern separate. I like separate because I like the experience of buying, writing down which numbers, because it's all numbers.
Right.
It's like, oh, I need color 950. And then the colors have a name. And I love finding out what the name of the color is.
So you have, that is deep.
Yeah.
So you have the pattern.
Yeah.
And then you have the
There's a separate piece of paper with the code on it.
Right. And so where...
It's so nerdy.
Okay.
So this is the finished. This is the big guy.
Okay. That's the finished butterfly.
There's a piece of paper. There's a part of the pattern, page of the pattern that has the whole thing. So, and this is the also has to tell me where to do my border.
So you're counting the holes from the edge? What are you?
Yeah.
Are
you always start
there?
In the middle. Of your pattern.
Well, how do you get to the middle? Do you have to count how many holes are
some
in
people
a-
go really if you're doing something really elaborate,
yeah.
Some people even will stitch an X across their fabric so that they know exactly where the center of the fabric. They'll measure.
Right.
They'll do all that.
I
have a pretty good eyeball for center for some reason.
Yeah. So you start in the middle.
As long as you have enough fabric on the edges,
you can
it doesn't really matter because you can change it at the end. But that's why they say start in the middle so that you don't do all this work and then you find out, oh, my God, I'm
too close to the edge.
Too close to the edge.
Which I have done too many times with a piece of paper and a pen.
Yeah. I'm like that with writing posters for yard sales. It's like, ah, shit.
Right. Protest posters that start. Stop.
And then it starts to curve.
And then you're like, oh, don't be an ass. Hole is tight. Yeah. So, that's hilarious. Okay. So, how many pages come traditionally in a pattern?
Well, it depends on how big the pattern is.
Right.
This is two pages, but I've had four, five, six. The owl was like six pages. It was a nightmare.
And so you get the full butterfly is on one page. Right?
Yeah, and that'll show you what it's going to look like.
Right.
You can also print this in color.
Right. Oh, okay. But why would you?
Yeah, that takes the fun out of it.
Right. Okay. How does it... I would just think, why?
I like the pad. I like to look at the little symbols.
The symbols
Well, because sometimes the colors are very close, so you need to use the symbols.
Oh, okay.
So that you don't, you know...
And then they break it down into two other pages in this case.
Where it's close up.
Half a butterfly, other half a butterfly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, like the tree one that you
and
have.
And then this will tell you, this is like your key page.
That's the key to the map.
And it has... Yeah. It tells you... what stitches you're going to do, how many strands of the thread you should use.
Now, so you're starting in the middle. So you just start in the middle and you're like, okay, this is a black X.
Yeah.
The thing right next to it is also a black X.
It's a lot of counting.
It's a counting. And then you're like four X's over.
Yeah.
then it's just background or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So you're doing that, right?
You're just counting your own next row. And I use like little magnets to like tell me what line I'm on.
Okay.
So, because it's very easy to lose your place, and I've many, even on this
I
one,
I can see how
had to
merch.
Rip out entire lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or just pull it out and redo it. It's really annoying. But it's all part of it.
Yeah, that is part
because I want it to be perfect.
Right, you want it to be perfect.
Well, because I found with the owl was a good learning experience.
Yeah,
the owl, I realized when you messed up what damage it could do later down the road.
Oh, like if you just
the spacing was off and you're like, you can't figure out what went wrong.
And you're just like, calling it a, you're like, it'll be fine.
And you then know, you no realize... one would, looking at the finished product, you would never know that really? I did it wrong.
Okay.
I mean, it's because it's so detailed.
Yeah.
You know, and
you're
then
not
blown.
Like, it's, it, you didn't make such a big mistake that it was like a dot, like a, like a noticeable problem.
No.
Okay.
Zoom out. It looks like an owl.
Craft episodes of The Dork Forest fascinate me because Janine Garofalo is like you.
Yeah.
She does beads. She makes beaded.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it, everything has to be undone and redone if she's and like she's making five bracelets. They all must match each other exactly. She likes to work between midnight and 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah. No, so, that's not me.
No, that is and should be.
Yeah.
Only Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
So safe space, The Dork Forest. Anyway, go back and listen to that one. It's with Maria as well. Janine Garofalo. Different episode, probably a month or two earlier. Diva Zappa.
Uh-huh.
Diva Zappa knits.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of knitting, and she thinks if you drop a stitch or if there's some sort of problem, mm-hmm. you've done something incorrectly. That's part of the magic, man. That was meant to be. So she just leaves like a weird bump in a hat.
No.
And she's, yeah.
Unacceptable.
That's what Janine said. Diva Zappa is more organic. She's like, whatever, man.
But she probably could do more original work.
Well, she likes to the her angle on it. I mean, that's why I like doing different craft episodes is because people come at I could talk about cross stitch with four different people.
Oh, yeah.
And totally it would be different. A totally different episode. So I think I've done more than one knitting episode. Maybe not. But the knitting episode with Diva was that she liked to pick the hardest yarn to work with.
Oh, God.
Right, which is like cloud yarn or something.
Yeah, it's like all so it is. Feathery you can't see your loops.
Right, and so, yeah. Now, have you done any knitting?
I do crochet.
Oh, you do crochet.
And that
well,
was my
right.
big thing for like 10 years, and I would make blankets. I was really into blankets, but they would take so long.
Yeah, baby blankets
that I would make
is what
one
you
a year.
Do. Yeah. I have a friend who's into quilting.
I've been really wanting to do quilting.
It seems like a commitment of half a decade.
You really, for quilting, because I tried to make a quilt one time
with
my regular sewing machine and it was a disaster.
Oh, you need a special...
Well, I was making like a t-shirt quilt.
Okay.
Which with old t-shirts. Ooh. And it just became so... I was like, oh, I don't have the correct...
You need an adjustment.
You need an arm that goes out further so that you can get your whole blanket through the thing.
Okay.
When you're doing the end. Or you can do it by hand.
I have my grandmother's old foot pedal singer, if you ever need.
Oh, yeah.
An old foot pedal singer. That
good to know.
Good to know. Nobody
but you
wants
need space because you need a big table. You need like, you really need for that. I think I need a bigger, I'm going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat. Right.
One day
you'll have all the, I mean, there must be a lot of sort of merch and fiddle and diddle that you can buy with cross stitch.
Oh yeah.
Cause
I've spent like hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joann's. I mean, just now they sell stuff that like, I bought a bunch of it. I haven't done anything with it yet, but like they'll make a little notebook. Okay.
Yeah.
And the cover is this really thick cardboard with tiny holes in it. Like fabric. So you can now cross stitch a cover to the notebook and give that to someone.
And use it for comedy. No?
Nah. I'd give that to somebody.
Oh, okay. Still.
Or
gift.
Make a guest book out of something permanent. Something more.
Oh, right.
You know.
Yeah, because a stand-up notebook, that's just going to get stacked somewhere or thrown away.
Yeah. Or lost.
One of those two things. It's usually my favorite story is Maria Bamford throwing away her notebook in front of me. Because I'm like, you don't keep your notebooks?
What?
And she's like, No, I don't. And I said, can I keep them and sell them on eBay? And she's like, no. And at the time, it's probably 9 or 10 years ago, she goes, watch this. And she threw away a notebook in front of me. Mm-hmm. She's like, leave it there.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's that bugs me. I don't want her to throw it away. Oh,
me neither. Me neither. Keep You're that just for, like, for posterity history. Or something.
Scott, my boyfriend did a web series called Modern Comedian. He's a director, Scott Moran.
Oh, there you go.
He did an episode about Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
And Mitch is four.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it.
Mitch's ex-wife.
Yeah, Lynn.
Allowed him to film his old diaries and journals, and it
that she kept,
and it was really special. Yeah. So I don't think Maria should throw away her notebooks, but
no.
Who are we?
It turns out they're not our notebooks.
They're not. So it's not our.
She can dry her own tears with them, as far as I'm concerned. But it took me, and it still eats away at me. Clearly, yeah. but it took me a long time to just go. Not your notebook. Not your notebook. Leave it be. Yeah. Leave it be.
Not your legacy.
Not your legacy. History. Not even an issue.
Yeah.
It's so.
Yeah, there's so much history woven into the fabric.
Bring
it back around.
I wonder if Mitch's girlfriend of 9 years has any of his old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because he went out with this woman for like 7 to 9 years. I cannot remember her name.
Yeah.
Hung out with her any number of times. Very lovely. Great. And then he met Lynn and married Lynn.
Yeah.
And Mitch... My favorite story about Mitch, of course, is that I tried to, one year on my birthday, I was like 3 days into, I was going to quit drinking. And then I, ran into Mitch and I told him, and he was like, yeah, how long you got? I was like, how long you stopped drinking? And I said, I'm like 3 days in, today's my birthday. And he's like, well, you're not going to stop drinking on your birthday.
Oh God.
And then he bought me 2 shots and a couple of beers and I drank for another 3 years.
Yeah.
And, oops. Two more.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Two more DUIs.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oops. So as much as I love Mitch Hedberg, Mitch Hedberg was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. The notebooks made it seem that way.
Yeah. Happier with George Carlin dying in his sleep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People always say, you got to be crazy to be a comic. I'm like,
no.
No. You can be perfectly sane and die of old age.
Yeah.
Or perfectly sane. And a horrible person and die of old age, like Bill Cosby's going through.
Exactly. There's no one way to do it, you know?
Right. Feel free to be sane, you guys. That's my old thing. So, you got more on cross-stitch?
I do want to say, I'm really, I just got back from Edinburgh.
Oh.
I was there all month in August for the Fringe Fest, which was a huge experience for me.
Did you do all the shows?
I did a month of shows.
And did you flyer during the day?
I luckily had
people,
but also not to brag, but my whole run sold out.
That is not a brag. That is something that needs to be said because they don't.
They don't.
So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Good people who are funnier than me don't, but I had...
Or as funny. I mean,
No
reason.
I just came from there and they really do make it competitive. just by the nature of it. There's 3,300 shows.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it's just a.
How big was the venue?
Survival issue. 55 seats. But
no.
27 performances.
All 55.
Against 1,300 other comedy shows. It's pretty good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We should talk later because I've always wanted to do it.
Oh yeah.
And a 55 seat venue, I might
be
able to fill that.
Well, and I had a couple good things
going
for me. One, I had a great PR person.
Good.
I had a great producer and I had a great venue. And I also came in with, I think, just the right alchemy of what the show was about and what my credits were. Well, they make you write the description of the show in January. And then you go in August and you're like, well, I hope this works out. And
there's
also a thing in Fringe where they want you to do a one-woman show-ish. They don't, you know, you can go and do your stand-up.
But it better be solo show-ish.
It better be solo-ish. You better have some stories. Sean was in the same venue as me. He went right after me every night.
Right.
He told one long story that was phenomenal. I mean, it was just so, so good. He was
born. For an hour?
Yeah. It meandered, but... He was born for that fest. And he didn't have a sold out run. And he got better. He would be okay with me saying that. It's not like a shame.
No.
It's hard to sell tickets there.
And he would be like, how'd you do that? You know, and I was just like, well, I think I just had, you know, my show description was about, you know, my show was about America, what it's like to be an American. Jesus. Like, it had a few...
Like flag words?
Yeah, that were buzzy, and I think were people in the UK were interested in hearing, like, an American talk about that kind of stuff.
What's this American lady going to say about the decline of empire?
Yeah,
get into it.
You know, it's interesting. Like, Sean, I think, got better reviews than me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read mine.
Oh, good. Well played.
I read one yesterday on the plane.
There you go. Just get back yesterday?
Yeah, I got back last night. I'm really out of it right now.
I cannot believe that you are awake.
Hey. Hi. I got up at 4:30 this morning.
I literally emailed you Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, I was like,
and you're
great.
I can do it Thursday if you want.
I can do it. Yeah, I can't do it Wednesday. I will be on a 12-hour flight journey.
Wow, so you just came from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Did you? I just saw Sean in Dublin.
Yeah.
Because I did the Vodafone.
He was there before. Yeah.
Right before. Mm-hmm. And I was super jealous because it was my Saturday night show that did not go very well, in my opinion. By the way, it went fine.
That's fringe for you as well.
Yeah,
is that
you're like,
the audiences
are
really different.
Yeah.
They don't laugh as much as Americans.
And yet they're having the time of their lives.
Oh, yeah. So I would listen through the curtain every night to hear what people were saying, and it would be like, I thought it was brilliant. And I'd be like, you didn't laugh.
Right.
Well, I thought I was bombing.
I'm eating it. Eating it.
Every night was different. Some nights were big laughers. Some nights were just dead quiet. And I had to really adjust. It was, right now I'm in like sort of a euphoric daze.
Yes.
And
it's an accomplishment to do 27 shows in 30 days. That's insane. Yeah.
It's insane. And
was it one show a night?
Yeah, I did two shows one night. And if you go hardcore, you could be doing sets.
Yeah, as well.
At other shows, picking up sets at different places. I luckily did not have to really hustle like that because my tickets were selling out like 4 or 5 days in advance. And by the end, they were all sold out. So, but it's just an incredible experience. But there were moments where I was like questioning everything about my life. Like, why am I doing this? I'm bad at comedy. Like, it's a minefield. Like, it really stresses you out.
That is what I've heard about it, is that,
you know,
and
you're
other
sick,
people have
you're
gone.
Losing your voice, you're losing money, most likely. I mean, I've lost money even though I sold out every night.
Well, that's the other thing, is that I'm told that it costs like $5,000 to do it.
Yes. And, mine, minimum.
Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. I know people in the past who said they lost like $10,000.
Yeah, me too. But the best case scenario is that it costs $5,000, is what I heard. Like, Stuart Lee.
I think I will, in the end...
Break even, or...?
Barely.
Okay.
I mean, well, when you add in, like, I got pictures made.
Okay.
But I needed those anyway. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, and then you add in the food, money you spend on food, and, like, you know, you add in everything, I probably will have lost...
$1,000?
Know, probably $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to say, to some extent, to say that you did it is...
Oh, yeah.
Is There's such a thing in stand-up where you're just like, but I lived. I did the thing.
You feel, and then there was people, I mean, other Americans that were there, and, you know, we really bonded. Yeah, some people do 2 weeks, do 1 week, and some people come, you know, in the UK, the comedians there are truly, it's not for everyone, but it's essential.
Yeah.
The fringe is,
it's a good way to jumpstart your career.
It can break you.
Yeah.
And
it can make your career.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's people that go up and, you know, when they're real young and they just start learning the system, they just go for a couple weeks, they do some sets, you know, and I learned so much within the first week that I was like, oh, okay, I should have done it. I should have done that. I should have done this. You know,
you got any tips for anybody?
My tip would be, so much of it has to do with getting good advice, because you could get wrong advice and you could get there and be like, oh no,
this doesn't matter.
You're in the
all.
Wrong venue.
Okay.
That's like, the venue can really make or break you, because all the venues are hot as balls, but some are like so hot that it's like unbearable.
Okay.
Carmen Lynch was there, was there this year, and she did really well. She did a free show. You can do the free fringe, which is a whole other beast,
a parallel,
different rules of the game, kind of. And she was full every show.
Okay.
But her venue was like in the attic of this place, and it was like it was like a classroom.
Yeah.
In like an old church, you know.
Yeah.
It felt like an intervention. So it was like a really weird room.
Right.
And very, very hot. And
which
like,
is so weird because it's still 60 degrees outside.
Oh, it's cold outside. But yeah. Because Edinburgh, like, that's their hottest is like 65 degrees or something. No one has air conditioning.
Right.
And so the venues are just, for the most part,
and if they're
unbearably hot.
50 to 200 people.
Yeah.
It's just body heat.
It's body heat. Yeah. It's, and, you know.
And stuffy.
You know, so some venues are better than others.
Yep.
And some are, like, in the right location and some aren't. And, you know, you might live in the wrong part of town because you didn't realize, you know.
How far it is to get to.
Like, yeah. So little things. Like I looked back on it. I'm like, okay, I was in the right. I had everything stacked in my favor.
Okay.
There was a lot that could have been wrong.
That could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my advice is to, like, you know, talk to people who have done it before and make sure you do what they say. Don't think you know better.
Right. I've never thought that I've known. Like, I did 9 weeks in Australia on a tour.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And 4 of those weeks was with Stuart Lee and David O'Doherty.
Oh, yeah.
And both of those guys are, but it was 10 years ago, maybe more, 15 maybe. And, but they both did it every year.
Fringe.
Yeah,
they're like, David was there this year. He didn't have a show, but he was there.
Yeah.
He's like addicted to it.
Right. I think as is Stuart Lee. And it's, but the, it was, it's, I'm drawn to it, even though it sounds exhausting. And I don't know.
It's really exhausting.
And it might be really bad for my ego.
It was bad for my ego.
Right. But then when you get out of it, you're like, I did it.
Yeah. So I mean, I feel like
it ends up being good for you.
I cannot wait to, I have a college this weekend. I can't wait to do it. I can't wait to do, I have a bunch of shows, this headlining shows this month.
Do you have anything coming next week, which is when this will drop?
Nothing open. It's all college stuff.
All college stuff?
In September 15th and 16th, I'm at Cobb's.
Okay, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And nice.
Then in October, I'm in Corvallis, Oregon, in a theater there.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Hey, if you're in Corvallis in October.
It's near the big school.
Okay.
Yeah.
The O school, the green O? We don't
maybe
know.
Maybe the Ducks. I'm not
the
sure.
The Ducks. All
that
right,
could be a totally different
Portland,
part of Oregon.
I think it is.
I can't wait to perform.
And maybe you go to college in the town where she's going to be performing. So
New Haven, New Hampshire.
New Haven and New Hampshire. And I'm doing those with Maria, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, I'm doing Madison, and the week this comes out, I'm doing Throckmorton on the Tuesday night that this will drop, and then I'm doing Madison, Wisconsin with Maria, and then Minneapolis on Friday, Saturday. So
nice,
fun. Anyway, we have 7 minutes left. Do you want to talk about something miniature?
Wow.
A dollhouse. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, so another thing I dork out about is miniatures and dollhouse furniture.
And when you say miniatures, you're not talking Warhammer. You're not talking HeroClix.
No.
You're talking.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly. What are you talking about?
I'm talking. Okay, so when I was little, I was really big into two things, other than all the other things that I was into. I was into a lot. I was really into a lot of
That's
stuff.
That's the greatest sentence.
I had a dollhouse that I was really into.
Yeah.
And I saved up my money to buy furniture for the dollhouse. And
how old were you when you got the dollhouse?
I want to say...
Like little? Like 4 or 5?
7.
Okay.
8.
So you were in school. You were in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
You get the dollhouse?
Get this big dollhouse. It was plain wood, and I got to paint it myself. It's a mess. If I showed it to you now, you'd be like, oh, what...
No, I would say adorable. So was it the size like...
It was big. It was
like 3 feet tall?
Yeah, the size as high as this table.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe as big as this. It was really big. And it was like a Tudor style
house.
And and I was just obsessed with it. And I, my sister had a dollhouse. Both my sisters had dollhouses, but my older sister was
three girls
and a brother.
And okay, so you have four kids.
Yeah.
Three girls, one boy.
And my little sister and I are very close in age, so we would play together a lot, mm-hmm. and we would do this thing. I mean, we did it even as late as like probably 12 years old, where we would set up tableaus in our dollhouse, like scenes, funny scenes. And we'd spend an hour each in our dollhouse setting up the scene and like laughing, like couldn't wait to show the other one. And I remember, and then we'd like look and be like, okay, you can look. And we'd just like, just be on the ground crying, laughing. Like one was, I'll never forget this one. I don't remember any of the other ones, but I think she did this one. I don't think it was mine, where she had like, cause we had these really, these dolls for the dollhouse were like just, we just made fun of them cause they looked so broke down. Like these dolls looked like they were all like the Elephant Man. Like they had really weird faces. They were like fabric faces. And so they just looked,
were the dolls plastic?
Were they fabric. We had some that had plastic heads and cloth bodies, but then we had others that had these weird cloth heads that my mom had found like in a really like posh like country store or something. Okay. And
and they're all like 2 or 3 inches tall.
Yeah. Okay. And they're just like, they all look so crazy.
And they look like deranged.
Yeah, they look like murder, like Jason. Like just so fucked up.
So you could set up like the craziest scenes with them?
Yeah. And so she set up a scene where the grandpa was in the bathroom and like the rest of the family was like dying outside the bathroom because his poop smelled so bad. And
stinky.
You know, that's 10 or 11 years old. You know, that was the funniest thing to us in the world.
You're not wrong. That could still work.
Yeah. And so we would set up scenes.
Trey Parker's still doing that.
Yeah. So. Truly. I love... I bought this dollhouse furniture. I can't remember the name of the company, but when I went to FAO Schwartz in New York before they closed, they had a whole counter of this same brand. And I almost started crying in the store because I was like so overwhelmed by the memories of it.
Yeah.
The pattern on the boxes was the same. And I was just like, and I love, and so I have a bunch of the furniture.
That you bought at that FAO Schwartz?
No. I didn't buy it. No, from when I was little. I have all the furniture. I brought a bunch of it back to California. And some of it, there's some dispute amongst the sisters on which piece belongs to who.
Where did you grow up?
Virginia.
In Virginia. I was just in Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah. That's where my dad lives.
Not protesting, but we did go to Monticello.
Yeah. So. Good job. You really made a statement.
We made a statement. Anyway.
Yeah. So I really love... I can't remember. I think it's the 1-inch scale.
Okay.
But that's what dollhouse furniture is. I'm pretty sure it's 1-inch scale.
Yeah.
1 inch per foot is like 1 inch to 1 foot. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But that size like delights me. Like if it's bigger than that, I get annoyed. I'm like, that's the wrong size. And you can immediately recognize that scale, you know, because if you've played with that furniture so much, you're like, oh, that's the right scale for a dollhouse.
Right. It fits right into your hand the correct way.
And I mean, the furniture that they make is so beautiful and like real looking and elaborate. And like I went to and this was just by accident. I didn't know it was there. I didn't know it existed. There's in the museum, the big art museum in Chicago. My boyfriend and I were in Chicago and we were like, let's go to the museum. I've always wanted to go to this museum.
Right.
And
it's a beautiful museum.
Right when we walk in, he sees a sign. He goes, uh-oh, Sarah, what is this? And it just said a sign. It was like the miniature, so-and-so miniature room. And he goes, oh, you're going to like this. And I was like, ooh, let's go down there. And I get all excited.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It was.
Was it just a, is it
part it was, of okay, so it was a room of windows. Okay. Imagine a room.
Yeah.
And there's windows all across at eye level.
Yeah.
And in the window is a box of dollhouse furniture sized rooms. They're just rooms.
Just dioramas set up. Yes.
Light coming in through the windows. Like just so real, like that I took pictures of them.
Yeah.
And they look like real rooms. Like from different time periods and stuff. I just lost my mind.
Is that part of the permanent exhibit? Do you remember?
It is part of the permanent exhibit. Because whenever I bring this up, people go, have you been to the museum in Chicago? And I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I have I also collected miniature little porcelain animals.
Okay.
So I have
And those are little.
Yeah, those are little. The you know the trays that you put that printing presses would use for their letters?
Yeah.
Letter trays?
Yeah.
People now use them as shelves for miniatures.
Yes.
And they my mom figured this out at probably the same country store. she had them all over the house. And so I found one, and I have a bunch of my dollhouse, like, I mean, they make little tiny boxes of like El Paso, like taco, like regular products that from the 80s, like I have a miniature version of it, like, you know, of cereal and like up in my miniature shelf. People get really, so I know that we're going to be friends if somebody comes in the house and they see my miniature shelf and they're like, oh my God, where'd you get the shelf? And is this stuff from your growing up? And I'm like, yeah. So I get very excited.
Sarah Schaefer, I might have to have you back when it comes to miniatures and dollhouses. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, it's been an hour.
Okay.
People, go to Sarah Schaefer 1, at Sarah Schaefer 1, SarahSchaefer, the number one.
Yeah, especially my Instagram. If you like what I talk about, I do feature a lot of my obsessions on my Instagram.
Exactly. And can you regram? Have you figured out how to regram?
I do know how to regram.
And do you regram some people's stuff?
I will, on occasion.
Or you can just go into who you're following if you want. Yes. If people want to go down
recently, I've been following a lot, so you'll see. Yeah.
Yes. So you can see some other people.
There are some good aggregator embroidery feeds that give you all the other feeds.
Excellent. And then you're gonna start doing a pod, right?
I am. It's not named yet and it's not out yet, so just follow
just
me
just follow me and you'll figure it out.
It's really weird.
You'll see a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much
for having me.
All right, and Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, they're dancing around my hat. my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?